Good day. This is Health on the Hill. I'm Jackie Judd. It's just over 6 months now since President Obama signed into law the health care reform bill. How is it playing in congressional campaigns across the country and in corporate boardrooms? Here to help us answer those questions and more are Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and Ricardo Alonso Zaldivar of the Associated Press. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Mary Agnes, we've spent some time on this program talking about this question of will Democrats be running on or from health care reform during the November elections and the lead up. What's your take at this moment?
I think you're hearing more from Democrats now because there's simply more to talk about. As of September 23rd for health plan years, after that point, there are a lot of consumer protections that Democrats can get out and talk about now. No rescissions, no canceling insurance once you get sick. You can keep adult children up to age 26 on your health plan. Democrats can point to that now if they deem it's in their best interest for their race and talk about it. Russ Feingold, a Democrat from Wisconsin, is talking a lot about
that. He's in the race of his life.
Exactly. Steve Israel, a congressman from New York, Democratic congressman, is getting out there and talking about it. In a Louisiana contest, there's a Democratic challenger pointing to the Republican incumbent's vote against the health care bill. If they think there's more to talk about and they want to talk about it and it's of interest in their race, I think they're talking about it a lot more. Both President Obama and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have said to different incumbents in Congress, run your race the way you see fit. If you need to talk more about the economy, focus on that. If healthcare is a big issue for you, focus on that. And I think Democrats that think they need to talk about healthcare and it's going to help them, they're doing just that.
All politics is local.
Exactly.
And for Republicans, Ricardo, do they find it at this moment in the campaign, and from week to week these things change, we know that, that it's a very viable issue for them to campaign against?
That continues to be the case. All along, it's health care and legislation that was basically pushed through by the Democrats has been a big issue to energize the Republican base, and it continues to be the case, and they're going to keep pushing the message of repeal and replace. And there's unity among Republicans on repealing the legislation. Seems to be pretty solid on that. But when you look at replace, less so. We've seen some consensus items that the House Republican leadership put out so far.
And the other idea out there is to not fund some of the pieces of the legislation, right?
Well, yeah, that would, a straightforward repeal, probably odds are it wouldn't work because President Obama could veto it, and no one anticipates that at the moment that Republicans will have enough votes to overcome that veto. So another strategy would be a funding strategy. Deny HHS and IRS the money that they need to carry out the law. And that could lead you all sorts of places. It could lead you to a situation where you're, you know, looking at a shutdown of an agency or a government shutdown, depending on the vehicle for that funding. So
let's talk now for a moment about the business community and healthcare reform. Last week, there was some indication of some of the problems that some parts of the business community are having with healthcare reform law. McDonald's spoke out, the Restaurant Association did. Walk us through what their issues are.
Retailers and restaurants often offer these smaller, more limited benefit plans. They're called mini-meds. They're pretty inexpensive for the employees, but they have a limited benefit, probably not as comprehensive as many people have from their employers. So what these groups have said to the government is, we need waivers on two key elements of your health bill. Number one is annual limits. You're not supposed to have any annual limits anymore, but we need a waiver there, and also on the medical loss ratio. And for the small group market, that means that an insurer has to spend 80% of the premium dollar on health care. But these folks are saying, if you require us to lift annual limits and we can't get a waiver on the medical loss ratio, we're either not going to offer coverage or it's going to be even more expensive for our workers.
The reaction from HHS, Ricardo, seemed to be, hold on, let's not overreact. We haven't even written some of the regulations yet. What should we take from that in terms of how the administration may approach these challenges in the future?
seems to me that they're sending a strong signal that they would look for ways to compromise. And particularly since the law gives them the means to reach accommodations with different interests. The law gives the secretary authority to waive certain provisions. So they seem to be sending a strong signal that they're open to compromise. Now, you have to wait down the line to see what that compromise looks like and whether it's acceptable to the business community. Another factor to keep in mind is what's going to be the reaction of Democrats on the Hill, particularly the progressives, who see these requirements that insurers spend a fixed percentage of premium on medical care as one of the big accomplishments of the health care bill. What's going to be their reaction if the administration starts to issue exemptions and waivers? And finally, got to keep in mind that we're in the we're in the opening act here, because the major provisions of the legislation are not going to take effect until 2014. And I think that's a consideration, too. You got to weigh how much of a fight do you want to have about certain things at this stage.
And also, if concessions are to be made, and we don't know what will happen yet, but if concessions are to be made, doesn't that mean that other organizations, other special interests will come forward and say, we need concessions too? And before you know it, is the administration looking at a situation where the underpinning of the healthcare reform law begins to loosen up?
That pressure is already happening in the regulatory process. I mean, you can see it in comments that all the different sectors are filing. They're pushing to get interpretation of the law and the regulatory approach in favor for them. But I think Ricardo's right. You're going to have Democrats on the Hill pushing back. Jay Rockefeller, a Democrat who's very strong in the medical loss ratio provision, is already calling for a congressional investigation into these mini meds. What do they cover? What do they look like? He obviously feels a little sunshine in that area will illuminate a lot of points of view.
The final subject I want to talk to you both about has to do with Medicare recipients, elderly people who are a potent voting bloc. There's new research out about what will happen to premiums for the Part D, for prescription drugs. Mary Agnes?
Well, today the Kaiser Family Foundation released a report that said if seniors stay in their current Medicare Part D prescription drug plans, they can expect a premium increase of 10% next year. So that's certainly something Democrats don't want to hear, as they go into the election season.
And Ricardo, you did some reporting earlier, similar research on the subject of potential increases and consolidation. Tell us about that.
Right. And today's Kaiser research confirms some previous research that found that basically the same thing, that if you stay in your plan and you're in one of the top plans, you're going to face a premium hike. And there's two things going on here, and some are good and some are, probably you would say if you're a beneficiary, they're not good. On the not good side, there's a big reorganization of the benefit to winnow out duplicative plans. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're going to see a big number of beneficiaries have to switch to another plan and or face higher premiums if they don't switch. Now, on the plus side, because of the healthcare law, there's a 50% discount on brand name drugs in the coverage gap next year. And that is going to be significant. But there's a timing thing going on here. Right now, it's October. We're a month away from elections. And people will be seeing a premium increase. But what would you say as far as the benefit on the donut hole? That probably won't kick in till
probably. I think it's about around $2,850 of spending. So mm-hmm. for a lot of people, they've got to go several months into the year to hit that.
Mm-hmm. What has the administration said about this potential for a 10% increase?
Well, the administration calculates the numbers differently, because when they do their calculations, they assume that seniors are going to look at the increase and they're going to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to pay this. I'm going to see if there's another plan that covers my drugs for less, and they're going to make a switch. Mm-hmm. And so according to the administration's calculations, building in that assumption, it'll be about 3% on average.
Okay. And then a final question to you, Mary Agnes. How does this consolidation of plans, forcing some senior citizens to be moved from one plan to another, how does that does it undercut the president's statement, which he says often, if you like your health plan, you can keep your health plan?
Well, I think if you're one of these seniors that Ricardo was talking about who feels they've got to make a switch and maybe the benefits aren't as generous in the plan you switch to, you might not be too happy. I mean, we've certainly seen in the employer market, open enrollment is coming up and people are looking at higher premiums. Now, one can argue you cannot blame those on the health care law, even though some people do. It's a matter of great debate. But so that you've got people in the employer market looking at that and saying, wait a minute, I thought the health bill was going to help me with my coverage. I didn't think it would be as expensive, or my employer has dropped that carrier. So it creates some difficulties.
Okay. Mary Agnes Carey, thank you very much. Ricardo Alonso Zaldivar, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll see you again.
Thank you.